Have you ever felt like you're just drowning in information? Just so much out there and, well, so little time to really get your head around it all. You're looking for those aha moments, those surprising facts that make complex stuff suddenly click, but without feeling totally swamped. If that sounds like you, then you are definitely in the right place. Today, we're taking a deep dive into something that's, well, profoundly reshaping how we work, how businesses operate right now. Artificial intelligence, AI, and its powerful partner, robotic process automation, RPA. Our mission here in this deep dive is basically to cut through all the noise, all the hype. We've pulled together a whole stack of sources, articles, research, real-world examples to get you the most important facts. We want to show you the exciting opportunities, but also the critical challenges of AI and RPA in the workforce. The goal is really to equip you with the knowledge so you understand what's happening and what's likely coming next, quickly and thoroughly. So let's unpack this a bit. The sheer scale of AI's potential economic impact is just, well, it's staggering. Some recent estimates suggest it could contribute up to, get this, $20 trillion to the global economy by 2030.
20 trillion. That's enormous.
It really is. It's not just growth. It feels more like a fundamental rewiring of, economic value.
Yeah.
And look, this isn't just about some futuristic robots you might picture on a factory floor. Not anymore. These technologies, they're already deeply woven into the U.S. economy, into our daily lives. And with generative AI bursting onto the scene, the kind that creates new text, images, code, that's just speeding everything up even more.
You know, to really grasp that shift, that fundamental change you mentioned, we kind of need to look at the building blocks. And what's fascinating here is how these technologies, AI and RPA, actually work together. Let's start with RPA, robotic process automation. Think of RPA basically as software robots, little bots, and they're designed to automate those really repetitive, rule-based tasks.
Like what kind of task?
Well, think data entry, filling out forms over and over, processing standard documents. Essentially, they mimic human actions, clicking, typing, but within existing digital systems. A key thing about RPA is that it's often pretty non-intrusive. It can work with the IT systems you already have, usually without needing a massive overhaul.
Okay, so that's the robot part, automating the simple stuff.
Exactly. But then you bring AI into the mix, specifically things like machine learning, ML, and computer vision, CV. And that's when you unlock what we call intelligent automation.
Intelligent automation.
Yeah, this combination lets those software robots move way beyond just simple predefined rules. Now they can actually learn from interactions. They can reason, analyze information, even process unstructured data like reading emails or understanding images.
So they can tackle more complex things, cognitive tasks.
Precisely. That's where you hear terms like cognitive RPA or intelligent process automation. They all point to this powerful combination of AI and RPA working together.
Okay, so the immediate fear lots of people have, and you hear it all the time, is that AI will just wipe out jobs, mass displacement. But what I found digging into our sources, it actually points to something much more interesting, maybe even surprising. It's really about job creation, isn't it? A different kind of shift.
That's exactly right. And what's really interesting, I think, is that it's not just about creating more jobs necessarily, but entirely new kinds of jobs.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Well, sure, we're seeing more demand for AI developers, data scientists, programmers, the usual suspects, maybe. But beyond those, totally new roles are popping up. Things like AI integration managers, people who figure out how to weave AI into the business, or folks developing employee AI training programs, making sure everyone knows how to use these tools. We're even seeing roles for ethical AI overseers, people ensuring these powerful solutions are used responsibly.
Ethical overseers.
Yeah. And look, the KPMG Generative AI survey found that two-thirds, that's a lot, of U.S. executives say implementing this stuff will require hiring new talent and training their existing people. It's both.
That's a huge shift in what companies need from their workforce. And, we often think of AI as this big corporation thing. But what about small businesses? They're such a huge job engine historically in the U.S. Are they part of this too, this job creation story?
Oh, absolutely. Small businesses are definitely getting in on the act. They're leveraging AI more and more. Take Intuit Assist, for example. It gives entrepreneurs these personalized, intelligent recommendations, helps them make smarter financial decisions, grow their business with less, manual effort.
That could be a game changer for a small team.
Exactly. And it's crucial because, like you said, small businesses have been incredibly important. They created something like two out of every three new jobs in the U.S. over the last 25 years. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, AI is also broadening access to skills, access to career advancement in ways we really haven't seen before.
How's that working? Are we talking about AI making it easier to like learn new stuff or helping people find jobs they wouldn't normally find?
Both, actually. So for learning, you have AI-powered platforms like Career Village's Coach. It's specifically designed to help with upward economic mobility, particularly for low-income communities. It kind of democratizes access to career info and advice that might have been hard to get otherwise.
Making that guidance more available.
Right. And AI is also expanding high-quality virtual training, making it safer and easier to pick up new skills. Imagine learning, say, complex surgery or how to drive a forklift or even fly a plane, all in these super realistic simulations. No real-world risk while you're learning.
Wow, yeah. That opens up possibilities.
Definitely. And then beyond training, AI is changing how people actually find jobs. Tools like HireVue's Find My Fit, they use AI to match candidates to roles based on interests, personality, soft skills, not just keywords on a resume.
So it looks beyond the standard qualifications.
Exactly, which can help reduce bias, potentially, and match people to opportunities they might never have considered just based on traditional job titles.
That's fascinating. Really opening new doors. But okay, what about the day-to-day work itself? Is AI just making small tweaks here and there, or is it really boosting performance, productivity, across the board?
Well, the numbers we're seeing are pretty compelling. They suggest it's a pretty significant boost across all sorts of sectors, all career levels. The core idea, really, is that AI automates that time-consuming routine stuff, you know, that digital grunt work nobody really enjoys.
Mm-hmm. Freeing people up.
Precisely. Freeing up workers to focus on the more strategic things, the creative parts, or the tasks needing that human touch.
Yeah.
And the data really backs this up. We've seen studies showing generative AI helps customer service agents handle like 14% more customers per hour.
14%. That's quite a jump.
It is. And consultants writing 59% more business documents. Programmers completing a massive 126% more tasks weekly.
Whoa, 126%.
Yeah, astonishing, right? And a joint study by Harvard Business School and BCG confirmed it too. They found AI tools significantly boosted both how much work got done and the quality of that work across lots of different tasks.
Wow, those productivity numbers are really impressive. Makes me wonder, though, about the human side. Beyond just getting more tasks done, does this tech also improve things like, say, workplace safety? Or even just our general well-being at work?
That's a really important question. And yes, it absolutely does in some very tangible ways. So on the physical safety side, AI applications are incredibly diverse. They can monitor the work environment for hazards, check if equipment is performing okay, or even do dangerous tasks that would normally put people at risk.
Can you give an example?
Sure. A great one is Amazon's Proteus robot. It's an autonomous mobile robot, right? It moves these huge 800-pound carts around their centers, and it uses AI to navigate safely right alongside human workers, but crucially, without monitoring the workers themselves. It just avoids them. This reduces the need for people to do that heavy pushing over long distances.
Taking over the physically strenuous, potentially risky tasks.
Exactly. And in manufacturing, think about AI-driven predictive maintenance, like what General Motors uses to optimize vehicle output. This has a huge impact. Deloitte actually reported that predictive maintenance can increase productivity by 25%, slash breakdowns by 70%, and lower maintenance costs by 25%.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
So yeah, it's not just efficiency. It's genuinely making work safer, more reliable. What about mental well-being? Does it touch that?
Yes, even there, it might seem less obvious, but yes. Think about DoorDash's SafeChat Plus C. It uses AI to scan the in-app chats between Dashers and customers for any offensive or abusive language. If it detects something unsafe, the Dasher can cancel the order without penalty. That offers a layer of protection.
That's interesting. It's sort of digital safety net.
Kind of. And beyond that, a really huge area is accessibility. AI is making work much more accessible for people with disabilities. It's genuinely transforming lives, enhancing mobility, providing new ways to communicate like text-to-speech or visual recognition for navigation, enabling people to use devices just using their voice or eye tracking.
That's incredibly powerful.
It really is. There was a report by Cruz and the National Disability Institute suggesting that widely available AI-powered autonomous ride-hailing, like self-driving taxis, could potentially increase labor participation by 15% for individuals with disabilities. That's like 4.4 million jobs. Just by tackling transportation barriers, it's huge.
That's a truly massive impact, making work genuinely more inclusive. And it seems like AI isn't just about individuals, either productivity, safety.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's also changing how teams work together, collaboration, decision making.
Exactly. That's another big piece. AI tools are starting to manage project workflows, schedule meetings automatically, streamline communication between team members. They can provide insights by spotting trends in data, helping teams work much more efficiently together.
Like those AI meeting assistants.
Yeah, perfect example. Think about Zoom. They're using generative AI assistants now for meeting summaries, highlighting action items automatically, even suggesting strategic insights from the discussion. All of that improves meeting efficiency, right? And streamlines the decisions that come out of them.
Definitely saves time trying to remember who agreed to do what.
Right. And beyond just managing tasks, AI is incredibly powerful for making faster decisions. It can analyze enormous data sets almost instantly, find patterns humans might miss, predict outcomes, recommend actions. This allows for much faster, more informed, truly data-driven decisions. Platforms like CrowdSmart, for instance, use AI that interacts with human teams to help them refine their collective intelligence and generate trusted strategies.
Okay, so the benefits are clearly immense. Productivity, safety, collaboration, accessibility. It's a long list. But look, it's never that simple, right? No new technology rolls out perfectly smoothly. What are some of the practical hurdles, the bumps in the road companies hit when they try to implement all this AI and automation?
You've hit on a really critical point there. There are definitely some significant bumps. It's not always easy. One major issue is data. Insufficient data, or maybe more commonly, low-quality data.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Pretty much. If companies don't have access to high-quality data and enough of it, the AI models trained on that data can give you pretty suboptimal results. Or worse, they can be discriminatory. Then there's the skills gap, the talent shortage. There just aren't enough people yet with the deep AI and data science expertise needed to build and manage these systems effectively.
Finding the right people is tough.
It really is. Another big technical hurdle is integration, especially for established companies trying to connect these modern AI tools with their existing, often older, legacy IT systems. That can get very complex, very resource intensive.
Trying to plug the new into the old.
Exactly. And you also have the initial costs. Licensing the software, the implementation itself, training people, it can be quite a significant upfront investment for AI and RPA. And remember, while RPA on its own is powerful for automation, it has limited cognitive ability. It really needs that good quality data when you integrate it with AI to move beyond just those simple rule-based tasks.
Okay, so those are some big technical and financial hurdles. Data, skills, integration, cost. When we talk about AI influencing so much hiring, safety, decisions, what about the bigger ethical questions? Those must come up.
Oh, absolutely. That's where the real complexity often lies. Ethical issues are a huge concern, and they need very careful thought.
Like privacy.
Privacy is a major one, yes. Think about all the data collection involved. AI chatbots, for instance, might store conversation histories, device data, personal info that raises serious questions about constant digital surveillance. And then there's the whole issue of data scraping. AI models being trained on vast amounts of data pulled from the internet, maybe from social media posts or forums, often without explicit consent from the people who created that data.
Right, your data being used to train something without you knowing.
Exactly. And beyond privacy, there's the massive issue of bias. This often links to what's called the black box problem of AI. Sometimes it's really hard to understand why an AI made a particular decision. The logic is hidden.
And that can hide bias.
It certainly can. We've seen some pretty stark examples. Microsoft's Tay chatbot years ago started skewing racist tweets after learning from Twitter interactions. Amazon had to scrap an AI recruitment tool because it showed significant bias against women.
Wow.
Yeah. And even in healthcare, AI systems have sometimes shown lower accuracy for certain demographic groups, often because those groups were underrepresented in the data used to train the AI in the first place.
So it learns the biases present in the data.
Precisely. It really highlights this tricky balance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How do you get enough diverse data to make the AI accurate and fair, while also protecting people's privacy and avoiding scraping data inappropriately? It's a tough needle to thread.
That is a huge challenge, these ethical tightropes. So what's being done then on a bigger scale? Are there regulations coming, industry standards? How are we trying to address these ethical minefields?
It's a really active area right now globally. AI regulation is developing fast. And we're seeing a lot of agreement, actually, on the key things to focus on. accountability, transparency, data privacy, bias mitigation, security.
So different places are tackling it.
Yeah. For instance, the UK is going for what they call a pro-innovation framework, trying to encourage development while managing risk. The EU AI Act is taking a stricter risk-based approach, classifying AI systems by risk level with potentially huge penalties for non-compliance, sometimes up to like 35 million or 7% of a company's global revenue.
Wow, serious teeth there.
Definitely. And the U.S. has published its blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights, outlining core principles like ensuring systems are safe and effective and protecting against algorithmic discrimination.
So governments are stepping in. What about companies themselves? Are they setting standards?
Yes. Leading companies are definitely trying to get ahead of this and establish best practices. Microsoft, for example, has its responsible AI standards built on six principles like accountability, fairness, reliability. Rolls-Royce developed something called the Alethea Framework, 32 different principles covering governance, accuracy, social impact.
So the idea is to build ethics in from the start.
Exactly. The key takeaway, I think, is that ethical behavior with AI shouldn't be treated as some separate checklist item you deal with later. It needs to be woven into existing workplace processes right from the design phase. And leaders really need to foster a culture where people feel safe raising ethical questions or concerns. Encouraging diversity among the developers building these systems is also crucial to help catch and prevent biases being baked in from the start.
Okay, so weaving ethics in. That makes sense. So given all this, the huge opportunities, the significant challenges, the ethical considerations, what does this all mean for how organizations should actually adapt? How do they, you know, build for this future?
That's where this idea of designing an intelligent organization comes into play. It's about creating an organization that effectively combines the strengths of people, human intelligence, with the strengths of AI, artificial intelligence. They need to complement each other.
An intelligent organization. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. At its core, organizational intelligence is really about the ability of all the actors, human and digital, to solve problems and adapt to change. And this overall intelligence is shaped by a few things. The smarts of the individual actors themselves, people and AI, how they're put together, the composition, the organizational structure, the architecture, and crucially, the culture.
So it's about how people and machines work together within the system.
Exactly. And broadly speaking, we can see AI serving two main functions in this kind of setup. One is automation, where digital systems just perform tasks without needing humans involved. The other is augmentation, where digital systems actively support and improve what humans are doing, helping them do their jobs better.
Automation and augmentation. Got it.
Right. And this leads to this whole spectrum of how intelligence can be configured in an organization. You can have individual human intelligence or collective human intelligence working together. You can have fully automated intelligence. You can have augmented intelligence where individuals work closely with AI tools. And you can even have augmented collective intelligence where multiple people and multiple intelligent technologies are all collaborating on complex problems.
That's a really powerful way to think about it. A whole spectrum of collaboration. So how do organizations consciously design for this human AI collaboration? Are there like guiding principles?
Absolutely. Researchers have identified six key principles for success in building this kind of intelligent organization. First is the addition principle. Pretty straightforward. Adding more intelligent actors, whether they're humans or digital tools, generally increases the organization's overall intelligence. More brain power, basically.
Okay. More actors, more intelligence. Makes sense.
Second, the relevance principle. This is crucial. The type of intelligence you add has to match the problem you're trying to solve. AI is brilliant in highly specialized areas, like, say, diagnosing specific types of cancer from scans. But humans are still way better at handling ambiguity, complex context, novel situations.
Right. Tool for the job.
Exactly. Third, the substitution principle. This is interesting. Replacing humans with AI only really increases the organizational intelligence if it frees up those humans to do higher value stuff that can't be automated. Think about the Associated Press example. They used AI for basic financial reporting. That didn't just make reporting cheaper. It expanded coverage massively from 300 stories to 4,400. And importantly, it freed up human journalists to do more in-depth investigative work.
Ah, so substitution enabled people to move up the value chain.
Precisely. Fourth is the diversity principle. Increasing the diversity of your intelligent actors, different kinds of people, and different kinds of AI significantly improves how well the organization can solve complex problems. Think about Wikipedia. About 40% of the edits there are actually made by bots, specialized bots doing things like fixing links, tagging articles, contributing alongside humans. Or look at the venture capital firm EQT Ventures. They use an AI called Motherbrain that helps them find promising companies they might otherwise miss, expanding their investment opportunities way beyond their traditional networks.
So diversity in both humans and AI is key. What's next?
Fifth is the collaboration principle. This requires collaborative skills from both sides. Humans need to learn how to work with AI, and AI needs to be designed to work well with humans. Advances in human-machine interfaces are vital here. Being able to talk to machines using natural language or using VR for training, like that hospital in Norway, Østfold, where nurses could walk through a VR version of their new building before it was even finished, or ErisMD's system that overlays 3D medical scans onto a patient's body for surgeons using augmented reality.
Making the interaction seamless.
Yes, and this also means workers need what some call AI literacy or fusion skills. They need to become almost bilingual, understanding both human context and machine capabilities.
Bilingual in human and machine. I like that. What's the sixth principle?
And finally, number six is the explanation principle. Truly intelligent organizations don't just rely on AI outputs. They seek explanations and they act responsibly. Explainable AI that can explain why it reached a conclusion is becoming vital. Many AI systems are still black boxes. Transparency is crucial for accountability. Think back to that Amazon recruiting bias example. It's also needed for humans to learn from the AI and fundamentally to build trust. But even with explainable AI, human judgment, our ethical reasoning, our empathy remains absolutely vital. It's the final check.
Okay, those six principles.
Yeah.
Addition, relevance, substitution, diversity, collaboration, explanation. That's a solid framework.
Okay.
So let's bring this home. Let's unpack this for you, the listener. You might be navigating this transformation in your own workplace, maybe as a manager. What are the practical guidelines here? How do you make this change happen effectively? Well, first, it's about overcoming resistance. Leaders really need to paint a clear, compelling picture of why this change is happening and what AI can achieve. Not just the threats, but the opportunities. You need to encourage participation from everyone at all levels and actively help people develop a digital mindset and the necessary skills. As one source put it, learning digital skills is really an antidote to fear of technology.
That's a great way to put it. Fear often comes from the unknown.
Exactly. Second, talent strategy. It's not just about going out and hiring a bunch of new AI specialists, though that might be part of it. Organizations absolutely must invest heavily in upskilling and reskilling their existing workforce. Your current employees know your business, and managers, they need to become, as we said, bilingual. They need to understand both their people and the technology. Bridge that gap.
That bridging role is critical.
Totally. Third, the locus of change. Where does the transformation happen? It can't just be a top-down mandate from the C-suite. Real, lasting change needs broad-based mobilization. You need to empower the frontline employees, the ones actually doing the work, to experiment and find better ways using these tools. Booking.com is a good example here. They foster this culture of experimentation, where pretty much anyone can test an idea, but they support it with centralized tools and platforms.
Giving people the tools and the permission to innovate.
Right. And finally, it's about speed with responsibility. The old tech mantra of move fast and break things. That's out, especially with AI. The new ethos has to be move fast and responsibly.
Critical difference.
Absolutely. Algorithmic accountability is key. That requires both understanding why an AI is making certain decisions, that explanatory power we talked about, and applying human judgment to ensure the outcomes are fair and ethical. Critical thinking, ethical reflection, disciplined experimentation. These are paramount now. So, as we've seen throughout this deep dive, AI and RPA are, without a doubt, profoundly transforming the workforce. They're creating really immense opportunities for job evolution, for massive efficiency gains, for improving well-being and safety. But this transformation absolutely demands careful, ethical, and fundamentally human-centric integration. We have to get it right. The future of work, it seems clear, isn't just about machines replacing humans. It's really about humans and machines collaborating, working together to unlock unprecedented levels of intelligence and potential. So the critical question, I think, for all of us now is this. How will you leverage these incredibly powerful tools, not just for bottom line efficiency, but to truly augment human capabilities and help build a more intelligent, more adaptable, and hopefully a more human future?